Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Here we are once again, The Power in the World, hosted by Reverend Ellen Jacobs. Let's give a nice hand. Welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. We had some technical difficulties. They're resolved now, and so we can go on and enjoy this Power in the Word broadcast. We start with a psalm usually, and today is the usual day, and so we'll start with Psalm number 5. This is, in my Bible, is a title, Morning Prayer for Guidance. Because we are, I thought it was so appropriate because we are going to be talking about prayer today. And this is a beautiful psalm, of course, Morning Prayer for Guidance, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. And so we know God will add a blessing to the reading of that word. And that the last section is for us. With favor, you will surround us as with a shield. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. So anyway, good afternoon, all. It is a beautiful day here. What was it? The air pollution, the smoke from Canada has dissipated today, and so we have a late spring day that's beautiful. So enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Well, last week we finished going over the book of Daniel. We went to the seventh chapter, and today I just want to talk about the chapters of Daniel that we read in their meanings for us personally. And because we know that the Bible is symbolic, we know that the Bible and the book of Daniel especially is the history of every soul in its struggle to free itself from sense, our humanness. And there are times when all of us, regardless of our spiritual advancement, find ourselves in confusion, the confusion of sense consciousness, our humanness. And sometimes the confusion is so strong that it seems overwhelming our fiery furnace. We go through the fiery furnace or even the lion's den. But our remedy for all of these trivial and super serious things is prayer. Now, most of us who listen in and participate on Fridays are on the spiritual path of regeneration. And our spiritual path is one through which we will change. That regeneration or change in it, the regeneration path is a change path in which abundant spiritual life, even eternal life, is incorporated into our bodies, our lifestyle. Its aim is the unification of spirit, soul, and body, spiritual oneness. That's the aim of our path. So, in Daniel chapter 7, we see a picture of the everlasting kingdom for the saints of God, the Most High. And we who are on this path of regeneration dream of living in this place of health, wealth, happiness, abundance, and love, governed by the Messiah in the flesh. So can this dream of perfection of spirit, of the spiritual man, be realized here on earth? Can we truly live the spiritual perfect life in the flesh? Well, it was realized by Jesus the Christ, our way shower. So it can be realized by all of us who will follow him in faithful expression and execution of the law. And that's us. That's who we follow. That's who we emulate. That's who we go to when we need the assistance on this road of regeneration. Well, why are we pursuing perfection anyway? Because the Spirit of God that dwells within us continually impels us to reach forward to the full expression of our spiritual perfection. At the end of chapter 7, there is a verse, Daniel chapter 7, that says, "There came with the clouds of heaven one like unto the Son of Man." And I want to look at the clouds. The clouds represent spiritual glory, which is hidden from the unillumined. But glory is revealed in all its radiant perfection to the illumined. And prayer is our technology for illumination. And so our path of regeneration then will take us to spiritual perfection in the flesh. Daniel, our judgment faculty, Daniel signifies that in us, which is judgment, which is insight, which is wisdom, which is discrimination, which is discernment. And Daniel symbolizes this faculty within us. And this judgment, wisdom faculty cannot lead us astray. We remember that our Daniel faculty is a thought now. It's all thought process, which is in contact with spirit, that receives revelation directly from the Holy Spirit. It knows and understands divine love, divine law, and its workings. Therefore, it warns us and it instructs us. Daniel represents spiritual judgment, and I want to use these words again because they're very important in our thinking processes. Judgment, wisdom, which includes discernment, intuition, discrimination. It is always true to its source, and its source is with a capital S, spirit. Daniel's advancement and deliverance was a direct result of his prayer life. Prayer will do the same thing for us. Solomon, the son of David, advised us to pray for wisdom. I was looking up the definitions of wisdom and judgment, etc., and one of the ones I found is this one. True wisdom is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, insight, good sense, intuition. Why? So that all our decisions, major or minor, will be correct, positive. So a prayer for wisdom is our request to God for the ability to gain this quality of having good judgment in every aspect of our lives, so that our decisions, minor or major, will always be the correct ones. So how do we get wisdom from God? We just ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5 is very, very clear. But if any of you need wisdom, you should ask God for it. He is generous to everyone and will give you wisdom without criticizing you. So we take this verse literally. So just ask God for wisdom. Prayerfully desire to understand life from God's perspective. For Jesus, our way-shower, his wisdom, his knowledge, his judgment came from his connection with God. He said, the Father and I are one. When you see me, you see the Father. And so Daniel's survival and success came from his connection with the source. Both Jesus and Daniel prayed consistently and often. This afternoon, we're going to consider the why, the when, and the how of prayer, our tool for enlightenment and illumination, our technology for regeneration, illumination, and perfection. And so Mary Lou is going to speak to us about the why of prayer. And so, Reverend Mary Lou, go right ahead.
Oh, yes, thank you, Reverend Ellen. The why of prayer. God wants us to be in relationship with God. And from Truth Unity website, the Life of Prayer article, as to why we pray. We pray because the act of praying, the conscious focusing of attention on God's presence forces us to look at things and people from other angles than our own private ones. It helps us to get rid of erroneous opinions. The Hebrew word for prayer is tefillah, which literally means to judge yourself. Because we pray because we are faced with the urgent need of making some difficult decision. And we pray when we need to talk to God and listen to God's guidance. We pray because praying delivers us from living the, quote-unquote, the unexamined life, which is injurious to posterity as well as being boring to us. Because praying does something as much as we let it to save us from making snap judgments. We pray because praying breaks through the crust that is around the impressible part of our mind and just stabs us into awareness, wakes us up. We pray because praying sustains hope, even when hope seems irrational. Praying tends to reduce self-will, which is perhaps our chief challenge in our life. Praying brings us face to face with the Lord of our being, the Christ consciousness within us, each of us. Because prayer is the way out of our difficulties, it is the way into peace, harmony, abundance, health, joy, comfort, and contentment. From the book Power Through Constructive Thinking by Emmett Fox, it goes on, it's that scientific prayer or spiritual mind treatment is the lifting of our consciousness above the level where we have met our challenge. If only we can rise high enough in our thought, the problem will solve itself. This is really the only problem we may have, is to rise in our Christ consciousness. And from the Charles Fillmore's book, The Dynamics for Living, from chapter 9, we must understand the nature of God and and awaken in ourselves that divine nature through which to affect our conscious union with God as to why we pray, to be in communion with God and in conscious relationship with God. God is spirit. We are the offspring of the spirit. In our prayers, we meet God face to face, and we realize we are getting that inner assurance, which is the real answer. Our most effective prayers are those in which we rise above all consciousness of time and space. In this state of mind, we contact the Spirit of God. When we elevate our consciousness to spirit, the God presence becomes meaningful to us, is an abiding flame, a flame of life everlasting, in every cell and fiber of our being, making us more alive. During high realizations of truth, we are conscious of this abiding flame that works in and through us. And then last, from the book Let There Be Light by Elizabeth Sand Turner, and then pages 254, 256. In the book of Daniel, like Daniel, we should be faithful in our daily prayers. Daniel prays three times a day. Every time we pray, we make a stronger union with divine mind. And this union ensures us ever-ready help in any emergency that may arise. So when we do it in our daily spiritual practices, then we are strong when a challenge comes up. We need to pray not as we so often do, with attention focused on the difficulty, no, but our thoughts centered on God, the solver of any human problems. The number three represents the trinity of man's being, which is spirit, soul, and body. To pray three times a day, therefore, signifies the whole man brought up in a spiritual cycle of thought. And when we make a practice of scientific prayer and sustain the awareness of God's presence throughout a trial, like just say Daniel and the lion's den, the result is freedom. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. That was Daniel 6:23. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Reverend Mary Lou. I just wanted to add one thing to prayer and our discussion of it. When we want to manifest our desires, our prayer, put in words, especially aloud, spoken aloud, give form and substance to the desires that we want, because we desire something that is not in our lives at the time. We want that to manifest in our lives. And by praying, by putting these desires in words, we move the universe, manifest that which we desire. And so I want to just speak about this phrase from Thessalonians 5:16-18, praying without ceasing. That is one of the things that Paul speaks about, that we should pray without ceasing. So I just want to give a few remarks about when to pray. exercise without ceasing. Of course, most of us have our spiritual practice time, and our spiritual practice time, our prayer meditation, and reading of scripture and contemplation of sacred things, that should be part of our scheduling. And I'm sure that most of us, all of us, do have a scheduled time of prayer. Daniel, as we just said, was three times a day. Muslims, I think, five times a day. I don't know about Jews, how, if they have any prescribed times of day. Catholics used to do it three times a day. They called it the Angelus. They would ring the bells, and people would pray three times a day. It's up to you in 2023 as to how many times a day you pray. However, it should be consistent, certainly, and it should be part of life. I think that one of the things that Mary Lou said is that each time we pray, we make prayer indelible. It's habitual. It is part of us. It becomes part of our lives, part of our thinking repertory. And so that is a very important thing. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, we had some crises that came up. And in the scripture, we are told about how the three, Daniel and his three friends prayed in the early chapters, how the three friends prayed in the fiery furnace, and in the lion's den, Daniel prayed before, and I'm sure he prayed while he was in that lion's den. And so do we have to wait until an emergency is upon us before we pray, or should we pray before the emergency comes? I think we all know that answer. Like Daniel, we should be faithful in daily prayers. Daniel prays three times a day. Every time we pray, we make a stronger union with divine mind. This union ensures us ever-ready help in any emergency that may arise. So in any emergency that may arise, we know that the help is there for us. So now what does this thought mean then? So that means that actually our prayer then becomes part of our thinking process. Prayer becomes part of us. Prayer becomes our continued relationship, our continued communion with God, and so that we are safe, we are secure, we are able to take care of every eventuality, and I think that that is just lovely. Of course, we all have our fiery furnaces, and we have our lion's den, those difficulties that are very, very serious, where our lives may be in jeopardy, our lives may be in order, but we know the answer, and the answer is prayer. It is there for us. And look how triumphant Daniel was. Daniel and his friends, they were much triumph there because of their connection with God, because of that prayer life. And so we're going to take a look and see our prayer. How is our prayer life? Can we add to it? We're on the path of regeneration, and so therefore we're taking a look at it so that we can see, do we need to add something? Is there something we should know? Praying without ceasing is to put God in charge of your life. It is to look for direction from God. Prayer is not a duty or a habit, but a pouring forth of the heart in gratitude for every breath, every moment of life, every experience. We pray without ceasing when we habitually meet whatever comes to us with faith and love, with a mind to draw from the event all that it has to give, with a willingness to do whatever has to be done to make the most and the best of it. So even the things that happen to us happen to us for a reason and have something good that we can get from that. If prayer is to be truly effective in our lives, it must be a perpetual activity. As we continue to commit ourselves to a life of prayer, we learn to put God first in every thought, word, and deed. And this is what we truly mean by praying without ceasing. And I think that this probably may not have been in your regeneration thinking, but anyway, the seriousness and the depths of it is we should look into it very carefully, and we're going to do that to this day. So we see when we're supposed to pray, without ceasing. And so Elsa Stewart is going to talk to us about how to pray. And so all of us can add to our prayer repertory. And so we're looking forward to Elva reviewing for us some of the things we know and bringing to us some of the things that we may not know. So, Elva Stewart, if you will.
Yes, I'm here. Thank
Good.
You, Reverend Allen, and thank you, Mary Lou. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about prayer. It's my passion. It's what I do. It's what I love. So I'm going to speak about how to pray or how I pray. And I have two models here of forms of prayer that I use. I do the walking meditation. I do that early in the morning. And I commune with nature. You know, I look at the trees, the sun, and all the other, all the Mother Nature out there, and I just give thanks for the beauty and the bounty out there. And also, I do sitting meditations, but basically, I follow the instructions given by Charles Fillmore, and from a book called Effective Prayer by Francis Fultz. And so here is what is written in the Effectual Prayer book. And it says, how to pray. The cry of disciples to the Master, Lord, teach us to pray, is a cry uttered by each human heart at some time or somewhere on the journey of life. All of us travel the path from self to God by way of prayer. Little by little, one learns to relax the physical so that God life may enter, to let go of the mental so that the God thoughts may take possession, to shut out sight and sound, emotion and desire, and become still before God. No one can take these steps for another any more than one can eat for another or sleep for another. Each one must take them for himself or at his own time in his own way. So that's from Effectual Prayer. And then there's an example on how to pray. And this is from Charles Fillmore. And the first thing he say is to be clear about your prayer needs and desires. And then second, he says, get centered, be still, and breathe. Center and still yourself by breathing deeply. And then the third thing is affirm the truth about the situation, the condition, and know it to be the truth. And then give thanks in advance for answered prayer. And that's, you know, that's basically what I do in my prayer time. And so Mr. Fillmore goes on to give some conditions, and I follow these conditions. He says that there are seven necessary conditions for true prayer. Number one, God should be recognized as Father. Number two, oneness with God should be acknowledged. Number three, prayer must be made within in the secret place. So prayer is done from within, not from without. Because out in the outer world, this is where we, those idol gods, and we'll If we're praying about these outer things, these things in the physical, then we're praying to idol gods. So we go within to that secret place, and there we come face to face with God. It's in some places it's called, you know, the altar. When you go to the altar and you atone and you come face to face with God, it's that prayer time in that secret place or in the altar, at the altar. And then number four, the door must be closed in all thoughts and interests of the outer world. Number five, the one who prays must believe that he has received. And then also, number six is the kingdom of God must be desired above all things and sought first. So, you know, we get that verse, seek ye first the kingdom, and all other things will be added. And then number seven, the mind must let go of everything, of every unforgiving thought. And so those are the conditions, and that's an example how to pray. And then there is a model also that I follow in my prayers. And the first one is relaxation. That's letting go of the tenseness in my mind and in my body, and just loosening the tight mental grip that I have on myself, or in order that the healing Christ life may flow freely into my being. And then there's a second one, which is concentration. And that is centering my attention on a particular idea, on a divine idea. And just let that idea, you know, just focus on that idea. It's called truth. Focus on the truth of the matter. That is, if you are sick or if you have some type of health challenge, you focus on healing. See yourself whole. See yourself running through the field, you know, up with filled with vitality and energy and light. And so you concentrate on that. And then you meditate. You meditate on a thought. You dwell on affirmation. You say your affirmation. For example, when Myrtle Fillmore was going through her healing process, she used, I am a child of God and I cannot be sick. I did not inherit sickness from God. God in me is a God of wholeness. So you develop your own affirmation. If it's finances that you want, you know, if it's finances you need, you say, I am prosperous. I am prosperous. If you have to say it all day and all night, you know, you dwell on that. You meditate on that affirmation until you come to that realization, and that's the fourth step. You come to a realization, an inner conviction and assurance of the fulfillment of your idea. When the realization takes place, then you can abide in the light of the God mind. That is where you abide in the light of the God mind. It is that inner conviction that your prayer has been answered. Now, although there may not be an outer manifestation yet, but you know that you know that you know that it's already answered. So the fifth step then is give thanksgiving. Be grateful. Render grateful thoughts to God for the manifestation of blessings given to you. And you can say, surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in this consciousness of God forever and ever. And so you give thanks then. And that kind of completes the process for me. I do pray as as Reverend Ellen said, I pray without ceasing, knowing that every thought is a prayer. I do not pray amiss. I pray with intention and purpose. It's all about what I want and what I don't want, what I want to manifest. And it's not about that I don't want to manifest. I don't focus on the problem, but I focus on the solution, the perfect and right outcome will come forth. The highest and the best will come forth for me. And again, I pray from God, knowing that the kingdom of heaven is within me. So I pray from that knowledge, from that knowing, going into that secret place. And another thing that I use is the 12 powers. I pray with faith, imagination. I hold a vision of what I want. If it's love in my life, if it's money or whatever it is, I hold a vision of prosperity, of abundance. I hold a vision of love and forgiveness. I hold a vision of I say, I am strong in the Lord. If it's strength that I need, I say I'm strong in the Lord. I pray from love. I pray from that wisdom. And most of all, I pray from that energy of God with passion and zeal and enthusiastic. I say I'm wise and I'm enthusiastic about life. And also, I do fasting as well along with my prayers, because in one instance, the disciples came to Jesus when they could not complete a healing, and they said, they asked him what to do, and he told them, some of these things are not done with prayer alone, but you have to fast. And so I do fasting. It's not a physical fast. It's a spiritual thing. It's fasting to change my consciousness, my perspective, my way of seeing things. It's not some like the TV or from certain foods or certain drinks. It's from those idol gods. It's a spiritual thing. It's a change of consciousness. It's stealing that oneness and my wholeness with God. And so for me then, I pray And prayer is, my spiritual practice, and I do it every day early in the morning, let's say, my walks. And then, I get up, and I include it. I look in the mirror at myself and tell myself how much I love myself, how much I care about myself. I see my beauty there. I see, I just see God in me. As I look into my eyes, I see God. I pray any place, any time. And I just use the activity to just bring forth the absolute good in my life. I pray heartfelt prayers, expressing my desires and with faith and a belief that they will be realized or manifested in a perfect way at the perfect time. So I thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts on how I pray and my experiences of prayer with you. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I know one thing, and so much of this I've heard before, or anyway, some of it I've heard before, but I didn't realize that. I love this, what you said, tell myself how much I love myself as part of my spiritual practice. That's
yes.
Part of the spiritual practice, and I don't have that in my spiritual practice, but I certainly will insert it because I do see exactly what you're talking about. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing to put in a spiritual practice. Yes, 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 yes. and there are other things too. So right now I'd like to open up to the people who are listening in and have people make a comment or ask a question or just tell us something about your spiritual, your prayer life, if you will, and you feel like it. So we're going to be open for that right now.
All mics are open.
Yes, they are. Well, I'm going to speak about some of the things that I wanted to make mention of. The model that you gave 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces to the model, and it started with relaxation, letting go of the tension, and the centering in meditation, realization, and giving thanks. When you speak of meditation, you said dwell on the affirmation. Let me start this way. My model of prayer is a prayer that is done aloud. So how does the meditation aspect of this prayer fall into your model? How does that quiet or going into the silence fit into a verbal prayer? How do you handle that?
Well, yeah, after you make the affirmation or say the affirmation or, you know, kind of sit there and visualize what you want, then you kind of listen. The one thing that happened to me once was when I went to go into my prayer, Spirit spoke to me and say surrender. And so I have to do that now. I have to surrender. I have to give myself. And the prayer that I say for that is, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. It's not what I want, but it's what you have for me. It's not where I would go, but it's where you send me. It's not what I would do, but it's what you're doing through me. And that's my prayer of surrender. And when I do that, and I just wait patiently on the Lord, you know, I'll sit silent then or maybe after the prayer is over, and I listen for God to speak through me. So you can do it at any point.
Mm-hmm.
It may be after the prayer is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may go in to get something to eat or take a bite of food or just look outside. And the answer, whatever it is that you're seeking, will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is prayer is conversation. It's a two-way communication. There's such a thing as talking to God. That's what I call real prayer, when I talk to God. And then there's a time where you listen to God. And that's your meditation. It's just listening.
That's for God to speak.
For God to speak. That's meditation, listening to God.
Mhm, mhm. All right. Okay. Also, I think that that one of the things we may forget about is the relaxation of the physical and letting go of you know, sitting back and relaxing. I know we sometimes say we pray off the top of our heads, you know, so that it's not always feasible, I guess, for us to relax. But we can take a breath, a couple of breaths, or three breaths, and then pray about whatever it is we need to pray about.
Yeah, and you know, you have to be careful with it because you may be driving along in the car, you know.
Oh, no, no, yeah. We don't.
You're walking along.
Don't relax too much.
You're walking along, you know, you get back. So,
that's what I wanted to ask you about, too, that walking meditation. How does that work?
I've done it now for years and years and years, over 10 years. Almost 20 years I've done walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just communing with God, looking around you, you know, seeing the plants, the animals, and all the little creatures out there. The trees, I go and I hug a tree and thank it for its strength. You know, it's been there hundreds and hundreds of years, standing strong, the oak tree and the other trees. They're standing there, the cedar trees, the beauty in them. And, you know, I pick flowers. If I see a flower, or, you know, now in the path where I walk in the park, there's strawberries there. And there's flowers. And I just observe all of it and take it all in and embrace it all and feel my connection to it. That same God that is in me created that from a seed. And it's just a wonderful experience when you have that type of connect, when you feel that type of connectedness to everything that's around you and know that it's all one. We're all one. The same DNA is, you know, is in that plant that's in me. The same God that causes that sun to shine is the same God that is the light in me that causes me to shine.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking one day, and I saw a clover.
Mm.
And the thing that came to my mind was love. You know, I could see love in that, when that word, C-L-O-V-E-R.
Yes.
I see love.
Yes, yes, yes.
I see love. And so the things that are out there, they always bring me a message. That clover brought me a message of love.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really like the idea, and it's real, that every thought is a prayer. Unfortunately, so many of us are, I guess, affected by the appearances around us. Until we can get to the point where we are truly one with God, not looking outside of ourselves, thinking that some God in the sky will answer our prayers, but knowing that that inner peace, that God that is within you is guiding you and protecting you. And by seeing all of the things on the outer, that's why we have to use those faculties sincerely and really know, have the faith and have the understanding and the peace and the wisdom and all of those faculties. That's why Jesus had those disciples. Those disciples are what we have to depend on, not just one, but all of them together. And the God within us is that's directing us. But we are, and I'm going to be realistic, we are infected by the things that are around us rather than going within. And that's when that silence, that peace, and listening to God, and it's not easy to do when we are surrounded with so many, quote, negative, and not thanking God and praising God and appreciating all that we have, all that we've experienced, even if it seems like it's something we did not want to experience. Those experiences are there to help us to grow and to strengthen us. And that's my thought for the day. And I thank each of you for sharing what God, what prayer is, because it's so important that we stay in prayer, but not looking outside of us,
God is surrounding us at all times, never leaves us. So we have to be in touch, in communication, in a relationship. And that's our key, to have a relationship with that God within us. And I guess that's my feeling about prayer.
Well, you know, one of the things that came up to me this week as I was going through this stuff is just that prayer, when it is a habit with you, when the things that Elva was saying, when instead of just running off, you know how sometimes when we were kids, you know, you kneel down, you're supposed to say Our Father prayer, Our Father right here, blah blah blah, 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 done. Done. I'm finished. I did it. No. The thing about real prayer or prayer is that it is a deliberate, conscious activity that we bring to it our everything. Because of how important it is. Because, you know, as we get older, you know, we're praying about important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at Daniel. Daniel and the three guys, they were in mortal danger, life-threatening. So we have our fiery furnaces. Yes, we do. We have our lion's den. Yes, we do. But it means that we don't just rattle off the prayer, or we don't just, do it because I pray every morning at 10 o'clock, so I'm going to pray at 10 and I'm going about my business. It's not about that. If we do have to enter into this process, that is very, very critical to our well-being, because it is our technology. This is how we are going to get through this rough stuff. It's not just rattle off 10 Hail Marys, or, you know, maybe Our Father, or something like that. It's not that. That's not what we're talking about. The reason that I thought it would be of value for Elva to speak about the depths of prayer, even though it does have certain terms and terminologies, you know, that are part of it. But to let us know that we have to let go and relax when we go into prayer, that we have to center ourselves, that we have to do the meditation and the silence so we can hear what God has to say to us, and that we can finally say, when we have that realization that all is well, that we give thanks and so forth. So it's for us to enter into the process of prayer with heart and soul and mind and strength and all that good stuff. We have to, because it is the way we can get through all of this horrors. Just as Daniel is illustrated in Daniel, the fire did not touch them. So that the fire that we have to go through, and all of us have our fires, darling, all of us, isn't going to harm us. That the lions then, the lions in this place are not going to overpower us, that we're not going to lose our lives because of these things. We're not. God is going to protect us. Serious, serious business, serious. Prayer serious. Prayer serious, prayer serious.
What
and I'm sure that as we testify, each one of us can testify to the serious things that the Lord has brought us through unscathed. We can all testify to that.
Yeah, it's a verse or something that says 10,000 at the right hand, 1,000 at the left hand, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But none will come nigh thee. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I really need that protection, and I need that. And so the aspects of prayer that we've talked about, I'm going to go over them, and I want to see where do I need to add a little bit more attention, because it is a very serious matter.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious matter. And it works. So I think that all of us, can I say that for everybody, that all of us have some testimony or some story about how prayer worked for us magnificently, seriously. I think everyone can say something about that because of the group that usually that's on the wire are the people who are on the path of regeneration and have committed their lives to God and God's service. So I think that puts us in a little different category from the ordinary crowd. So we know the power of prayer. We know it. We know it. We know it. And I'm looking at the time. It's 2:15, and they're only going to give us an hour. So I just want to say thank you so much to Elva for speaking for us. And I'm sorry I didn't hear voices of others, but that's okay. And I just want to end with a treatment, a spiritual mind treatment, if you will. I am going to, I hope I have the time for it. Let us bring ourselves together, center ourselves and our attention at our heart space, because it is there that we interface with the magnificent, wonderful energy that is God itself, himself, herself, through which we live, move, and have our being. I am in partnership with the creator of the universe, whose thought is creative. So is mine. I am co-creator with the one mind. The divine urge to create is forever pressing forth from the center of me, seeking greater recognition of itself through me. I must express love and givingness in all I do. Every moment of every day, through the process of what I think, I am establishing the pattern and the mold of my experience. I allow the infinite at the center of my being to fully express good in and through every aspect of my life. There is nothing to limit me. Every barrier can be overcome. There is no struggle, no battle. I let go of any and all limiting concepts or patterns of thought which are preventing fuller flow through me. As I increase my awareness of the nature of God, of life, my relationship to it, to God, and to obligations to express it, God, I open the door to a greater experience of all the good things that life has to offer. Today, I straighten out my thinking in full awareness of myself as a co-creator with God. I now declare that from this moment on, all the patterns of my thinking shall always be in accord with the greatest possible good, which normally and naturally become manifest through the law of mind in every aspect of my life. And so we submit this treatment to the law of creative action, knowing once the word is spoken, it cannot return void, that indeed it does what it is sent forth to do. And so we allow it to do its work, and so it is true. This is truth and nothing but truth. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. And at 12:18, we'll say our prayer of protection as we close for today. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. We go in peace and walk with the Master. And take care, take care. Until next Friday at 1. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it gets better.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.